Dr. Dockery, there's been a lot of study in this area. What are the results of this particular study that are so remarkable in your eyes?
The remarkable part of this study is the size of the effect that was observed, or the size of the association between fine particles and cardiovascular deaths in these women. It's 4 to 5 times bigger than we had expected from previous studies. And it raises the question of whether there was something wrong. Somehow we were underestimating the effect in the previous studies, or that these women are somehow uniquely sensitive to the effects of air pollution, or that this is possibly just a statistical fluke, and we need to wait and see what the next study is going to show us.
Perhaps we should start with a little lesson on particulate size. Why does size matter when we're talking about particulates, especially in relationship to this study?
Well, we grew up in a environment where we've always been exposed to smoke and particles, and so our lungs actually are very efficient at dealing with particles, and the larger particles are removed by the nose, the upper airways, that is your mouth, your throat, and get transported out of the lungs and actually into the digestive system. But the very, very fine particles actually penetrate very deeply into the lungs. They get down into the gas exchange regions. That is, you know, the places where we want the air to be in most intimate contact with the blood. And these particles can get down into those gas exchange regions and therefore have access to the blood and the rest of the body, the rest of the systemic system.
Please tell me a little bit about how this Women's Health Initiative study was conducted.
Well, this is a study that was initiated to look at various health issues in women. For example, the risk factors for cardiovascular disease, and for example, postmenopausal hormone use, and that was in the news last year. So many, many millions of dollars have been invested in collecting high-quality data on the health of these women, and also there are other predictors of cardiovascular disease. And the investigators here at the University of Washington took the opportunity to use that existing data from these women to match with data that had been collected by the Environmental Protection Agency on fine particles and actually all the other criteria pollutants, all the other pollutants that we regulate, and to show that there were associations with air pollution.
What are the associations between all those other pollutants that we regulate aside from fine particulates and a cardiovascular disease, according to this study?
Well, actually, what was remarkable in this study was they just found associations with the fine particles and not with the ozone, not with carbon monoxide, not with nitrogen dioxide, not with sulfur dioxide. So this study seemed to confirm the previous observations that we had specific effects of fine particles.
So what does this study do that others have not? What's really groundbreaking here?
Well, it has very, very high quality data in terms of the definition of cardiovascular events in these women. Each event, whether it was a death or a heart attack or having a surgical intervention, was reviewed by a panel of doctors and confirmed to be a true cardiovascular event. It has much better definition of the exposures to the air pollution concentrations in each of these communities. And it's a very large study of potentially highly susceptible people, that is, postmenopausal women who have increased risk of cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular acute events.
Why postmenopausal women? What in particular has them at risk for these cardiovascular events?
Well, we know that women in general, or premenopausal women, have lower risk of cardiovascular disease. But once they go through menopause, then they start acting or their cardiovascular systems appears to be more like that of men, and so their risk goes up and matches that of men. So they're in a transition period when their risk of having a cardiovascular event is going up, and they might be at increased risk for the influence of other factors like air pollution at that time.
So tell me, what exactly are the risks that the study found? That is, if you're in one of these cities that has a high level of fine particulates, how much more likely are you to have cardiovascular problems, disease, or even death if you're, according to this study, a postmenopausal woman than if you're in a place with very clean air?
So they found that for each 10 microgram per cubic meter increase in the average fine particle concentrations in the community, the risk of a cardiovascular event like a heart attack or a intervention for a blocked coronary artery went up by 24%, and the risk for death from a cardiovascular event went up by 76%. Now, to put that in some context, the standard we have in the United States is 15 micrograms per cubic meter. So this is these are levels that are in general less than what we most people are experiencing in the United States. In fact, the average concentration for these women was 13 and a half. So most of these women, in fact, were at levels of air pollution that were below the current standard, that is, would be acceptable based on our current standards. And yet they were still observing between a 24 and 76% higher risk of, or a higher rate of heart attacks or cardiovascular deaths in these women.
And is the risk the same for men?
Well, we see other studies have shown effects in men also, although there is some suggestion that women, that these postmenopausal women at least, might have stronger associations or stronger effects. We don't really think this is due to simply the fact that they're women, but that they might have underlying conditions, changes in their heart, changes in their cardiovascular system that put them at higher risk. That would be equal apply to men with these same conditions.
So let me understand these numbers. If these women are exposed to an additional 10 micrograms per cubic meter, it boosts their chance of dying from a cardiovascular event by 76%. In other words, they're three quarters more likely, getting towards almost twice as likely to die from this as if they were breathing in cleaner air?
If a woman is living in an area with higher air pollution by that amount, by 10 micrograms per cubic meter, it's indicating that her individual risk is going up by almost a factor of two. But that is on the background of a low individual risk of a heart attack occurring, so that for the individual woman, it's a fairly modest increase. And in fact, for her, she would be better served by addressing some of the major risk factors like smoking and obesity and high cholesterol levels and high blood pressure and so forth. But on the other hand, from a public health perspective, this would mean that we would see almost a doubling of the number of women coming to hospital or dying from heart attacks in these communities. So the burden on the community can be very substantial in terms of the resources required to treat these women, as well as the loss of life in the community.
Now, other earlier studies of fine particulates, including some of your own work, have indicated very roughly that perhaps there's 70,000 excess deaths a year from fine particulate pollution in this country. Excess death meaning premature. Not that it kills people outright, but that it kills them perhaps sooner than they would otherwise have been expected to die. What does this study do to those estimates?
Well, as you said, we were showing that there were substantial effects in terms of life shortening for women and for men living in higher pollution communities. And indeed, we were very surprised at the size of those effects when we first conducted those analyses. This study is showing effects which are 4 to 5 times larger than what we showed in the original studies, and which have been the basis for the EPA regulation so far. So it really suggests that either these women are particularly sensitive somehow for air pollution, or that we have somehow underestimated the net effect of air pollution in the communities in the United States currently.
And if you've underestimated that, then maybe we're talking on the scale of a couple of 100,000 excess deaths from fine particulate pollution a year in this country.
It might be that that's true. These studies clearly need to be replicated. We need additional people to be looking at these populations. And, you know, I guess to me, one of the important messages from the study is there seem to be some group within the population, and whether these are postmenopausal women or some other clinically defined group, that seem to be particularly susceptible to the effects of air pollution. And if we can do a better job of identifying who those people are, whether it's from some genetic factors, whether it's some acquired disease, whether it's some personal habits they have, then we can be much more effective in targeting how we prevent the effects of air pollution.
Now, more than 80% of the subjects in this study were white women. What do you think the association would be among minorities, especially considering that heavily polluted areas are more often inhabited by racial and ethnic minorities?
It raises an interesting question in that minorities the black community has higher rates of baseline cardiovascular disease, higher rates of blood pressure, high blood pressure, and so potentially they might be at higher risk. And as you indicated, they often are living in areas with higher air pollution. So it raises concerns, and I think we need to be looking at these people, minority populations, much more aggressively than we have.
What, in your mind, are the limits of this study?
What we've learned from the previous studies is that as we get better at measuring people's exposure to air pollution, then we find stronger and stronger associations. So this study has expanded on that by looking between communities and also looking within the community what the exposures are. But it doesn't tell us what it is about particles that is causing these health effects. We know the particles are coming from lots of different sources, from automobiles, from diesel trucks, from wood burning, from heating of homes, from power production, from smelters, from all different types of sources. And there are all different types of chemicals and physical characteristics. And if we really are going to do a good job of controlling air pollution and protecting the public health, then we have to have some better information on what it is about these particles that is causing these health effects. And we need better definition of the composition and the physical characteristics of the particles which are responsible for these health effects. So this study confirms that we see these health effects, but really raises the question of what is it that is the intrinsic toxic element that causes these cardiovascular effects, and what are the sources that we need to be controlling to cost effectively protect the public health.
Let's talk about public health protection here. Right now, the current EPA limit for fine particles in the air is an average of 15 micrograms per cubic meter on a long-term basis. What does this study say to you about that limit?
Well, most of these women, I think almost three-quarters of them, were living in communities which had air pollution concentrations meeting that limit, that is, concentrations below that limit, suggesting that we're still observing apparently excess cardiovascular deaths and cardiovascular events that are associated with living in what we consider clean communities now. So it suggests that the EPA needs to go back and reconsider where that standard has been set.
So based on the research you've seen now and conducted yourself, of course, over the years, what do you think that limit should be for fine particles in the air?
It's actually a very, very difficult question in that we haven't been able to demonstrate where there is a safe level. And so ultimately, it does become a political decision we have to make. The science is not providing a clear-cut answer on where the safe levels are, but there is, it has to be a political decision on what level of air pollution and what level of adverse health effects we're willing to accept to have the lifestyle we are used to living with, of having our cars, having our power, having our transportation systems.
So if this level, though, could be linked to as much as 200,000 excess deaths a year, though that's still pretty high.
It is indeed, yes. We're never going to be able to reduce air pollution completely and remove all the particles from the air. So I think our goal has to be to try and make sure that there is no degradation of air quality. And wherever there are opportunities to control fine particulates, that we take advantage of those opportunities.
So let's say I'm walking down the street in a city. How can I know exactly what the level of fine particular air pollution I'm being exposed to is?
Well, it's very difficult because these are particles are so small that they're not, you don't see them. Where we do see them is as haze in the atmosphere. It's not, they don't show up as the black particles, they show up as the white haze, which is scattering the light, especially during the summertime. There are online sites. For example, here in Boston, you can get online and see what the concentrations are on any given day. But in general, we have to depend on the monitoring networks.
As an individual, what can I do to protect myself from fine particulates, aside from moving, I guess, to an island in the middle of the ocean?
Well, it's not even clear that moving to an island in the middle of the ocean is going to protect you. We can see the transport of these fine particles across the oceans from the east coast of the United States towards Europe, from China, coming across the Pacific and impinging on the west coast. These fine particles last a long time, are suspended for weeks and months in the atmosphere. So it's not clear that there are safe places to get away from the ever-increasing burden of particles. What does an individual do? This is one of the insidious problems in that these particles, because they penetrate so readily into the lungs, also penetrate readily into our houses and buildings and so forth. So there is some protection provided by being indoors, but they do penetrate into the indoor environment. We get exposed indoors as well as out.
Tell me, how has the U.S. government treated the science on particulates over the years?
Well, the government has taken this very seriously, and we had a revision of the fine particle standard back in 1997 based on similar data as these, and a major research effort was undertaken by the EPA, investing many, many millions of dollars into trying to understand what the basis for these health effects were. And it really has been very productive in increasing our scientific understanding of the sources and the toxicity of these particles. But we still don't have all the answers. And as this study demonstrates, we're seeing as we're getting better and better at conducting these studies, we've been able to see health effects at lower and lower concentrations.
Not so long ago, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency declined to tighten the regulations about how much fine particles we can be exposed to. What's your opinion of that?
Well, the EPA has a External Science Advisory Committee, which reviews the evidence as part of the process for the standard setting. And when they reviewed the evidence, they came to the conclusion that the standard needed to be tightened considerably, and made a very strong statement supporting tightening of the standard. And yet there was a decision by the administrator not to follow that recommendation. Since then, we've had this study and several other studies demonstrating, again, health effects at concentrations below the standard. So I think the evidence is continuing to mount that we need to think about this seriously and think about tightening the fine particle standard.
So do you go around with a HEPA face mask on all the time?
No, I don't. Here in Boston, we have concentrations close to the standard, but I think the evidence from these studies suggests that there are people who are, in some sense, sensitive to the effects of air pollution, and this could be because of chronic diseases that develop over their lifetime, or it could be somehow they're acutely responsive at some point in their lives. But for a healthy young person, or even a healthy middle-aged person, it appears that the risks are fairly small.
Some press reports said that in some of the dirtiest cities, it appears now that the risk of being exposed to fine particulates is about the same as being an active smoker, when earlier research indicated that maybe it was the same as being a passive smoker, that is, living with somebody who smokes. How accurate is that analogy, do you think?
Well, I think the analogy stems from the observation that the risk of cardiovascular disease in an active smoker is on the order of twice as large as it is for a non-smoker. And so we're seeing similar magnitude effects for these women. To me, I think it is a little hard to imagine that we're talking about effects that large, but we'll have to see if this is confirmed in other studies.
So from your perspective, the worst-case scenario for this research is that it confirms the levels that people have seen before. But I suppose the other way an anomaly could go is that it's still understating what's going on.
It could be understating what's going on also, or it could be the true indicator of what's going on. I think our experience over the past decade has been, as we've gotten better at conducting these studies, we've seen the associations become stronger, that we've seen larger health effects in the better conducted studies.
Are there studies that compare societies that don't have much in the way of particulate pollution and those industrial societies that do, that that correlate with this data?
I mean, the difficulty in these types of studies are, when you try and compare different populations with different levels of air pollution, there are always other factors that are affecting their risk of disease also. Smoking rates, occupation, diet, amount of exercise, and all of these things we know are very strong predictors of cardiovascular disease. So the difficulties here, and the reason there are so few strong studies like this, is that it's so very hard to try and eliminate the other explanations for the air pollution effect. And one of the real strengths of this study is the great effort that was put into understanding the individual characteristics of these women, which are predictors of cardiovascular disease, like cholesterol levels, like blood pressure, like diet and exercise and so forth, and making sure that those do not explain the observed air pollution health effects.
Douglas Dockery teaches at the Harvard School of Public Health, and reviewed the study on particulates in an editorial for the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Dockery, thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Nice to talk to you.